ladies and gentlemen, to a brand new episode of the Rockin' Wrestling Podcast, rockinwrestlingpodcast.podomatic.com. My name is Tyler Black, and this week we have a special guest. He is my boy, Rick. You know him as Ricky Hustle. He is the man. Rick, what is going on?
What's up, Tyler the Ninja, the Black Ninja? Good to see you. Good to hear you.
It's been a while since you've been on the show. You've been doing some big things, making moves, hitting the pads in MMA, rolling jiu-jitsu and shit. Now you're down in the Lone Star State, making big moves in the wrestling industry. What's been going on, dude?
All right, so a lot of things, man. Yeah, always training the mixed martial arts. Of course, you know, coming from Seth Petruzzelli's gym and NXT striking coach, of course, with the Muay Thai box. The Muay Thai kickboxing, the boxing, some jujitsu when I can. Working for a company that I'm helping put on the map, I Shoot Wrestling, based out of Dallas. We pretty much do just about every, it's a who's who of indie events. All the big ones we do, they did Oklahomania last year for Jim Ross in Oklahoma, of course.
Okay.
And just did Wrestle Circus, which after PWG, to me, is going to be the most up and coming and important, you know, indie. And I'm almost reluctant to call them an indie because they're booked by Al Lenhart, who, of course, is, you know, basically playing fantasy football but with fantasy wrestling.
Hey, who is Al Lenhart?
What's up?
Who's Al Lenhart?
Al Lenhart is the owner of Wrestle Circus.
Like, but what has he done? Like, is he just like a money guy?
I was going to say, I think he's made his money in the dot-com industry, as it's been told to me.
Oh, yeah? Brothers, right? So,
what'd you say?
I said Brazzers, right?
I think that's when we get to the Joey Ryan and the U-Pornplex and all that stuff. Maybe I Shoot Wrestling can make a deal with Brazzers. I hear there's a good Screwjob porno coming out here, so...
I did
you
hear
know,
about that. I don't know who's...
Ever the President
right?
Hitman Hart fan. Yeah, I don't know how he feels about that.
What a way to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah, it's very current, isn't it? 20 years later to make it now. And to capitalize on it, but anyways, getting back to I Shoot Wrestling and stuff, partnering with them to do some projects, do a lot of play by play, do a lot of color is kind of my favorite thing to do, of course. Just did Wrestle Circus, 20,000 people saw Wrestle Circus, over 20,000. Building I think packed 600-700 people when it really is only meant for 200. Who's who of names. Just did ring announcement.
Scott Norton was on there. That was the shit. Like, I marked
Scott Blackshear. Have you seen the Twitter today? Have
I
you
did.
Seen my Twitter? Just talked to Scott Norton on there. Called this match with Joey Ryan, which was a hell of a good time. And I was just listening to Bruce Pritchard podcast. Shout out to Bruce Pritchard and Conrad, of course. And I was listening to the Rick Rude episode. And, of course, all the Minnesota guys came up together, right?
Kurt
Hennig and the Road Warriors and John Nord, the Berserker. I don't know the last time the Berserker was mentioned on a podcast, so I hope we're the first to do it here. Love the Berserker. And furthermore, yeah, Rick Rude and Norton came up together, and of course they both were on the arm wrestling circuit.
I didn't know Norton was a Minnesota guy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, fun fact.
I met WrestleMania. He was real cool.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, WrestleCon. I was like, I love you in New Japan. He was like, yep.
Yeah, for somebody that could, like, you know, whose bicep is bigger than your head, I mean, he's a really chill guy. And anyways, I tweeted him just a little while ago, and I was listening to Rick Rude's episode on Bruce Pritchard the other night, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, yeah, I didn't realize that Rick Rude was actually, like, a big-time arm wrestler as well. You know, Norton, of course, I think he won 4 major titles for the United States and won over 30 tournaments and also competed in arm wrestling in Japan. Yeah, exactly. The movie as well. And fun fact is New Japan, before he became a pro wrestler, actually pitched him when he was on the arm wrestling tour. And at the time, he wasn't interested. So he eventually went back and trained in Minnesota, of course, with Brad Rennigans, who, you know, helped Henning, helped Brock Lesnar, and a lot of those guys. But anyways, I digress. I just thought it was cool that he tweeted me back, and I asked him if they'd already arm wrestled. He's like, yeah, back in the day, we used to wrestle in grade school for ice cream sandwiches. So
that's
definitely
awesome.
Yeah, definitely follow, you know, Tyler over on his Twitter, the Rockin' Wrestling Podcast, all that good stuff. Ricky Hustle. It's the Ricky Hustle, H-U-S-S-L-E. Be sure to follow me. Scott Norton, super cool guy to follow as well. Just did Ring of Honor. It was a great time.
Tell us about Ring of Honor. What happened? How did you get hooked up with Ring of Honor?
All right, so what happened is I Shoot Wrestling, we have a previous relationship with them. you know, like I said, some of these shows. So they're setting up the ring that day. I know a lot of the wrestlers because I work with them at a company called VIP Wrestling, which is the other really big indie here in Dallas. And what happens is I know a bunch of these guys, so we're there, and some of the guys are setting up the ring and all that. And I was like, I was just going to go to the show as a fan, as a spectator. So I'm helping set up the ring and all that kind of stuff, you know, for my buddies who are trying to get in there. And they do great, you know, camera and editing and producing. And, you know, the guy that does their truck and kind of is in charge of everything starts talking. And he's like, yeah, our camera work could be a little bit better, blah, blah, blah. And my one friend, Danny, he does most of the negotiating of the deals and stuff. And Lucas, my other guy, he produces, oversees the cameras and is also pretty much a genius when it comes to that. So Danny will tell you his life story. You'll know him for 30 seconds. He'll tell you everything he's ever done. He loves to talk to people. So we're out there talking and loading the truck and doing whatever. And I start talking to the guy, and I'm like, yeah, I came from baseball. I've done this. I've done that. And I do a lot of announcing in the local area. He's like, well, you know what? I think we might need a ring announcer tonight. So I was like, cool, hook it up, man. I can do it. And, yeah, so that's how it happened. And the craziness ensued later on. You know, it's good to know some people. I got to meet Cody Rhodes in the back. I'm going around, you know, when you're the ring announcer, you need to know, you know, the build weight, you know, where they're from and stuff like that. Every show, depending on what they're doing, they're like, okay, because you notice with Cody Rhodes, sometimes he doesn't exactly own his name at the moment, right? WWE right. owns Rhodes a couple minutes. I love that TNA got around that by just building this Cody and Randy Rhodes for the implication.
Yeah.
Right there. It's the implication. I know you love the show.
Love it.
And happens is I'm talking to Cody Rhodes and trying to figure out, sometimes he's from Marietta, sometimes he's from Atlanta, and he's like, oh, by the way, tonight, I'm sure you're a really good ring announcer, you know, no offense and stuff like that, but what I want to do, I'm like, stop you there. I was like, you're going to bury me, right? And I'm like, he's like, yeah, in so many words. He's like, what I want to do is say that I'm from Dallas tonight, because of course, you know, growing up in Texas with my dad being Dusty, you know, blah, blah, blah. So what I'm going to do, and of course, Rhodes is working heel. So I start thinking to myself, I'm like, you're going to say you're from Dallas, and then you're going to run down everyone in Dallas. He's like, exactly. So basically, we get out there, and he proceeds to do that, which is great. He's like, do you guys think Rick? He's like, first of all, he said, what is your name, ring announcer? I was like, my name is Ricky. And he goes, well, that's great. Except, do you guys think that Ricky is doing a good job? And fair enough, a few people actually cheered me on, so that was good.
Because
we're cheering me for the haircut and stuff, which is great. My haircut gets heat. No one's been this popular as a ring announcer and a personality since Tom Phillips, which is something we'll have to talk about later on. And, yeah, basically Rhodes is like, do you think he's doing a good job? Runs me down. He's like, he said I'm from Atlanta. I'm from right here in Dallas, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, actually, you know what? Never mind. That's why I left. Dallas sucks, and runs down Dallas, of course. So that was pretty cool. I got to get buried by Cody Rhodes.
That's awesome.
And stuff. Yeah, and
what's
then the back.
What's wrong with your haircut?
Nothing. It's just, you know, it's cut on the sides and then it's long on the top. You know, I don't know. I was thinking
it's
if I grew
like
it out.
It's typical, like, white dude haircut right now.
I knew you were going to say something like that, exactly, you know. Typical middle-aged emo kid, I guess.
So
I get to talk to Cody in the back. He's like, oh, yeah, really good job, man. You know, he's like, I'm glad that I could actually hear you say your name, because some people you ask them, and it's like, you're miming, like, what's your name and stuff. He's like, I'm glad you did your job, and, you know, very good job, and I appreciate, because if you watch it back on ROH on the VOD, you can see I'm trying to react to him and really put him over and sell. Like, I'm upset. Like, how dare you embarrass me in front of everyone? But it's a young man's dream to get ran down by Cody Rhodes and to get over that way.
Yes, of course.
And then, so it gets cooler in the night, so we have intermission, all that stuff, and I'm a huge fan of the Briscoes. They've always been, like, my favorite tag team. I love the Bucks as well. The Briscoes are my guy, and they're working a 2 out of 3 falls match. With
I like the Briscoes until Jay said that stuff about gay people, then it was kind of like,
Yeah. Everybody's got their own personal beliefs. I heard that AJ Styles thinks the world is flat. I think that's a bit odd. I love AJ. If I hadn't just come out the other day from Daniel Bryan and stuff, I just got to meet him at Royal Rumble weekend. I would have totally asked him why he thought the world was flat, so I wish that had happened 2 weeks earlier, but besides the point. So anyways, after intermission, the referee comes and gets me, and he's like, the Briscoes want to see you. And of course, everybody knows the Briscoes have a reputation of being a little bit crazy.
Right.
I'm like, oh man, it's cool that the Briscoes want to see me, but I'm like, oh man, I don't know what they want. So I go to the back, and they're just sitting down with the Bucks, shooting the breeze, and the referee like brings me over, and they invite me to come sit down. They got a chair for me and everything, so it's kind of cool to sit there while they're like going over their match and the back and forth, and you know, and they're just Jay goes over it with me, and he's like, look, the first round is going to be this, make sure you explain that, make sure, you know, the second it's going to be
like a three stages of hell kind of thing.
Yeah, the first match I think is a standard match. The second match is a lucha rules match, and the third is like a no DQ match. So he's like, this is going to happen this way. He's like, and then what I want to say is lucha rules, we don't know what that is, and you know, they're going to take the DQ and all that stuff. But man, it was a really good match. But yeah, so anyways, you know, I go back and forth. I give him the mic. I put over the rules several times and stuff. My entrance, I showed you the clip. I thought I really nailed it in that Bruce Cooper tone. Yeah. And I get back, and I'm like, oh, I hope they liked what I did. And, you know, like, they totally put me over. They're like, man, you did a great job out there. I'm just thinking, like, as long as they're happy. But they, like, really put me over. They're super nice about it. And, like, you did a great job. You know, we really liked what you did out there, and were nice enough to take a picture with me. So it's cool that you not only survived the Briscoes, but you get some praise from them.
That's pretty awesome. Watch out, Bobby Cruz.
Yeah. Very cool.
Like, who wants to see that crusty old man? We've seen Bobby Cruz for like last 10, 15 years.
If not longer. That's like, you know, who wants to see Bobby Cruz? That's like asking who wants to see Disco Inferno, man.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to see him in the 90s. I don't know, you know, what club you got to be bothered by him in Vegas now, so.
I believe that's Sapphire's Gentleman's Club.
Oh, okay. You're going to plug his club now?
Yeah. I mean, if he's going to give you like free tickets to a titty bar, I mean.
I don't think Disco gives anything for free. I think Disco wouldn't pay the $9.99 to see the great show that was Wrestle Circus. And that's kind of, you know, what's got him blown up on the Conan podcast there, keeping it 100.
Yeah, love that show. Love that show. If you listen to my live podcast from PodSlam, I did put that over as one of my top five podcasts to listen to. Good shit. Good shit. What's your beef with Disco Inferno, Ricky?
What's up?
What's your beef with Disco Inferno?
I think it's Disco's beef with me. So, you know, we're doing Wrestle Circus. I'm working with the great Kevin Gill. Of course, ICP fame, and he just did Pro Wrestling Revolution. And he's like, hey, so, you know, I'm talking with Conan because he produces the show and whatnot. And we're telling Disco Wrestle Circus is going to be this good, and it's this big thing you guys need to watch. And, you know, he's like, but Disco's too cheap to do the show. You know, to pay the $10 and stuff like that. So I guess you don't make a lot in washing hands and getting dollars. I guess you don't make a lot of money off it. So anyways, Kevin Gill's giving him shit, and he tells me for the show, we're going to be doing a show tomorrow. He's like, but I want you to kind of talk about Disco a little bit tonight. So I'm like, I get to call Wrestle Circus this fantasy booking card, and I get to insult Disco Inferno. Like, I'm in, man. I'm in. This is a young man's dream, but anyways, Kevin.
Because you're always more of an Alex Wright guy.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Boogie Nights, man. You know, Alex Wright carried his sorry ass. So, you know, and I think his dance moves were far superior too, which is really saying something. Exactly. But anyways,
so you weren't a fan of the Disco Inferno version of the Wolfpack.
What, he was Scott Hall's lackey. What was worse, the Disco Inferno red and black, or what the black and white became? You know, who was left? There was Stevie Ray. There was Vincent, of course.
Yeah.
I think Brian
Hogan.
And Horace Hogan. That was, like, the last one. Remember when they had, like, a four-person battle royal? Like, who would be, like, the sole, like, guy in charge? It was a four-person battle royal, as I believe. And they were fighting for who was in charge once the red and black had merged. Which is so stupid that they kept that as a stable. But my sense, four people in an over-the-top man battle royal. But
yeah, and Stevie Ray, leader of the NWO, that's pretty rough. Pretty rough time.
Rough. But anyways, I guess, you know, I was being told about Disco this and Disco that, and I say that, you know, oh, if I had to, he said something about Disco being bitter, and I was like, well, in all fairness, Kevin, if you had to wake up every day and be Disco Inferno, you'd be bitter too. You know, he's got every right to be bitter. And the great part is they both thought that Kevin Gill, they didn't believe that Kevin Gill, you know, didn't come up with that. So Kevin Gill took all the heat on that. So I put the tweet up today. I'm gonna come out and take the blame for that. And I heard that I'm on the Disco list. I don't know what the Disco list is. I don't know if it's like the copycat Jericho list, but apparently I'm on it. So
according to Disco Inferno, he had the list first.
Oh, of course he did.
But of course, this is according to Disco Inferno.
Did he also have a lion tamer first? And were they the walls of Disco before Jericho stole it from him? Was Disco supposed to be the first undisputed champion? Was he going to beat The Rock and Austin in one night? Because he couldn't even be the more popular guy in Boogie Nights, so I don't know how he was going to beat those two gentlemen in a night.
What about the Filthy Animals? You don't like the Disco version of the Filthy Animals?
Nah. Let's see, the Filthy Animals, it was Mysterio, it was Conan, Kidman. Billy Kidman. Yeah, you're not... He wasn't going to get over the more than any of those guys. Kidman's story. So I'm talking to Sonny Ono a few weeks ago at a show called Lucha Pride that we do, that I call with the great Rick Diamond of ESPN. I think it's 977. In Louisiana, you should know all about it. You're a Louisiana guy. So I'm talking to Sonny Ono, and he's talking about the glory days and the party nights of WCW. He's talking about Saturn. He's talking about Kidman. He tells me the story back during spring break. I guess they're in a bar somewhere, and Saturn's like trying to get these college girls up to his room. And, you know, Kidman, of course, was a good-looking young kid, later went on to marry, you know, Tori Wilson, which isn't doing too bad for yourself. And I guess what happened is Saturn was saying something about getting naked in his hotel room. And, you know, I guess Kidman, I don't know if they're sharing a room or he was in a room nearby him. So Kidman's, like, passed out drunk, and I guess they put together a hat with a dildo on top of it. I hope this isn't a...
The Rhino.
Show. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You heard the Rhino story?
Of course.
Exactly. So, yeah, he was just basically saying how one girl wrote his head on the dildo hat of the Rhino. I didn't know that was a thing. and then the next day he was walking around all day talking about how his neck hurt, and all the guys were laughing about it. So that's new on me, man. I had some good times in college.
I believe Lodi held up a sign saying someone loves the Rhino on Nitro, like very recently after.
That's great. See, I would rather listen. I wish Conan would get Lodi to do the podcast. I'd be far more interested in listening to him on there than Disco.
Yeah. So. I mean, but Conan's awesome. I once asked Conan about, because they had this WCW show for MTV during, like, a Winter X Games or something.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and I asked Conan if he remembers anything about it. Like, all I remember is that Billy Kidman fucked one of the girls. So shout out to Billy Kidman for always laying pipe. Like, he knows how to get it done.
Agreed.
Did you ever see the WCW dating game with Disco Kidman and Jericho?
Yes. Oh, Jericho was on there? I remember watching it. But...
Yeah, Jericho won. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't remember that. Yeah, I think I remember Kidman being on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the singled out, you know, like Jenny McCarthy, Carmen Electra type of vibe, right?
It was the dating game. Like,
yeah,
the one chick and the three guys, and they had the Nitro girls and one dude. But the chick looked like a teenage prostitute, I guess. Like, she was...
It was the 90s.
She very much looked like she was trying to be Whore Spice, I guess you would call her. Yeah, look up this chick. It's awesome. So what else is going on? Tell me about your MMA career. What's going on with that?
It's not really a career. I think at this point, you know, I had my... I was 4 months in. I had my my contest and stuff. I won. Fought a bigger guy. I think at the time I was 165. I think he was 185. I'm 5'11". I'd say he was 6'1", 6'2", and stuff. Dominated him for three rounds and got a busted open nose in the last minute. But he hit me with... Huh?
Your nose got busted open?
Yeah, I got busted open. It's fine. But, yeah, it bled for, like, the rest of the day. He hit me with two good shots, and that was one of them. But, you know, at the end, I dominated him. I think he landed two shots in that whole fight. And so all the credit in the world to him, but I'm just, you know, when you're fighting somebody bigger than you, you got to be scrappy. But, yeah, now that I'm kind of back in this this broadcasting thing and stuff, I enjoy it. I still train, but I'm not really at the moment training to fight. I'm not going to say that that's not going to happen again or that I won't compete in amateur competitions.
Mm-hmm.
But can't have your face busted open and be doing interviews and, you know, and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Of course, of course. But you had some cool run-ins with people. Donald Cerrone came through the gym, right?
You talking about Dos Anjos and Cowboy Cerrone?
Yeah.
Shout out to Cerrone, man. He's great, man. He'll fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. But some of these guys that don't want to fight, and some of these guys want to collect the paycheck, or only want to fight guys they think they can beat, he will literally fight anybody. If you said, hey, man, we need you in Alaska tomorrow, it's $10, but we need you to fight, you'll be in the co-main event, he'd be there. You wouldn't finish getting out of your mouth. So, yeah, that was cool for him to be there. It sucked that he got beat within a minute by Rafael Dos Anjos, but, you know, he's beat enough people, and Dos Anjos is, you know, an excellent competitor himself, so. Yeah. But it was cool.
And Donald Cerrone drinks fight milk, so he's awesome in my book.
Are you looking for an endorsement there?
No, but have you not seen an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I have, but yeah. I was just thinking about that you brought that up.
Yeah, he drinks fight milk. So he fights like a crow.
Yeah,
what else has been going on? How's Texas? What made you move to the great state of Texas?
Yeah, so fun story here. The girlfriend and I were ready for a change. She was from Georgia and lived in Tampa and stuff like that. You know, I've lived in D.C. I lived in Chicago as you and I became good friends. Lived in Orlando. And not really ready to go back to the cold, so somewhere that has a fairly warm climate. So originally, it has to have some sports teams too. So originally it was going to be Arizona, and we packed everything up, you know, and we moved out to Phoenix for like 2 weeks, and it sucked. You know, like, we were ready for a change, and we're like, look, we're adaptive people. We got jobs, you know, we'll move out and stuff like that. So we moved out. Neither of us had ever been there, and we, you know, stayed there for 2 weeks, and we're like, look, this is great with all these canyons and the climate, but it's ghetto and it's boring. So we stopped in Dallas for like 2-3 days on the way over, hit the Cowboys Stadium, had some great barbecue, and we were like, hey, I was like, I know you're not going to want to hear this to Chelsea, but I'm like, we're not locked into an apartment yet. What if we just went back to Dallas? I know we've only been here for a few weeks, but I think we've seen what we've seen. And she's like, you know, I didn't want to say anything either, but I think that's probably the right thing to do. So
you didn't want
to
hang out with Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella, kick it with them, doing their thing?
That's what I told her. I was like, hey, you just had the pay-per-view there. And I was like, the Bellas live here and they love it. Well, you know Daniel Bryan, he's always trying to go back to Washington, so. Yeah. I don't know if that's with or without Brie, because those Bellas are annoying. And so, I know the one you hate is Ava Marie. The one that I hate are both of the Bellas. But now, I found somebody I hate more than both of the Bellas combined. Carmella. Really hate Carmella. She's awful.
Not Dana Brooke?
I really hate Dana Brooke as well. But then they have to choose Carmella, and I have way more heat for her.
What problem do you have with Carmella? Or Carmella,
I don't know,
as I call her.
Yeah, well, she really has no character. You know, it's like she just comes when she dances and she has a terrible accent.
She's
like,
Enzo Amore with a vagina.
Well, see, I find Enzo is hilarious, but they came in hot and they really just kind of screwed them up the last couple months here. They're just kind of there to be there. Instead of being funny and witty, now they're just talking and talking and they don't win. So, I don't know. But yeah, Carmella, she's just not interesting to me. She feuds with the Bellas. That's not interesting to me. You have Alexa Bliss on there. I need more Alexa Bliss. Can't ever have enough Alexa Bliss. So
I was super sad to see Naomi lose the title.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Yeah, that's a great point there. Naomi, she's been there for 10 years. She's got a great ass, and that's all she has. Feel the blow is more like it. She's awful. The only way they're going to put the title on her is because they're going to Orlando. That is the only reason why. Why would you beat Alexa that's more over than everybody other than Cena and Miz and Styles on SmackDown? Why would you beat Alexa when you just put it on her? She's getting a great reaction. She's gorgeous. She's great in the ring. She's athletic as hell. Why would you beat her? If you're going to beat her in Orlando, where if Naomi absolutely has to win it, where you can say, oh, it's the hometown dream at Mania. She got passed over for 10 years. Why'd you beat her a month before, and now she got hurt, you put it back on her, and it makes both of them look bad, and it weakens the championship. Same thing with what they're doing with Bayley and Charlotte. Good. Let Bayley go over, but do it at Mania.
I think it'll be super awesome if, like, Bayley actually wins on Sunday. Because no one really expects it, and I think that'll be get a pretty good reaction. That's just me. But I love Naomi. Naomi's super over with me, especially on Total Divas. Like, her and Jimmy Uso have, like, this fucking romantic handshake, which is the shit. Like, I have no idea how they fucking pull it off. It's like a gang handshake, like they're Crip shaking or something. But, like, they throw up, like, a heart with their hands and shit, and then they, like, make their fingertips kiss. It's fucking awesome.
I don't watch a lot of Total Divas. I've seen probably 5 or 6 of them. It doesn't really captivate my interest. However, I have watched the Total Bellas just because I want to see what Daniel Bryan's up to. You ever watch that?
Turn, yeah.
Doesn't he come off like a real dick? I don't know why he does. Because they want him to be, you know, the lovable guy. He looks like a real bossy jerk, you know, doesn't he?
Yeah, he seems like he has a stick way up his ass.
Yeah, he does. I'm like, I don't know. I know they want you to eat the Fruity Pebbles and all the children to sing along and stuff. I don't know why they let John be on there be presented that way. Yeah. Because it's the heel turn we always wanted. He just won't do it as a thing, just in real life.
Awesome. He got pissed off with a tiny dog, bit his leg. Doesn't want people wearing shoes in the house.
I know, man. And here's John Cena, this big-ass bodybuilder that can bench press 500 pounds. And this dog that weighs 5 pounds bites him, and he's like, he sold more for that dog than he did the whole Nexus, man.
That's true. That is true. So, God damn it, motherfucker. Highlights of Wrestle Circus. What should we look at? What are some of the matches that we should definitely check out on the card?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. There was 11 matches on it, so there was a lot of stuff going on.
A long show.
And had a dark match and
what
stuff.
Was the dark match?
I don't even remember, to be very honest. Not to say that it wasn't great, but to say that 11 matches. I mean, the big criticism of WWE and some of these, you know, what Rumble had, what, like 9 matches and 2 got kicked to the dark match or something like that. I was there, and it's too long. But yeah, for Wrestle Circus, it's great because, you know, a lot of these promotions you go to, you know, you're like, oh, man, they put 2 big names at the top and then everybody else is either up and coming or it's filled with a bunch of jobbers and 2 names that are probably stars, you know, right, in 2 years. But, yeah, man, you had a lot of great matches on there. Scott Norton, a lot of people may or may not even know, was still wrestling. Him and Joey Ryan was really cool. Joey Ryan holds, of course, the Wrestle Circus Showtime Championship, which is basically like the hardcore championship back in the day. It's 24/7 rules.
He didn't have a belt with him.
Well, it got put on him. I mean, it got created that night.
Oh, okay. Really? Huh. Okay.
It could be defended in any promotion, too, is kind of the neat thing.
Okay.
So I'll get to that here in a second. Let's see. You had the women's match. You had Sexy Star, which I guess is Sexy Dulce. I don't want Lucha Underground to sue you here.
Yeah. We'll blur out this podcast.
Yeah, you had Rachel Ellering, of course, the daughter of Precious Paul Ellering, the longtime manager of the Road Warriors, and, of course, the current tag team champions, the Authors of Pain. And additionally, you had Chelsea Green from TNA.
Laurel Van Ness.
Yes, happy marriage to her, I guess we should say.
I haven't watched the wedding.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyways,
it's awesome.
That was supposed to be a 4-way match. They were supposed to have what's her face is the as the 4th competitor who's doing the pace. why is her name escaping? Oh, Tessa Blanchard. I was trying to think of because I was like Ricochet was on the card, so it made sense that she was there. They were on there. Let's see. Ray Rowe took off, of course, from War Machine.
My
took on
favorite wrestler like, because he has True Till Death tattooed across his chest. So
yeah. I run into them all the time. I work a lot of
Great Edge.
Yeah, War Machine are super cool guys. For as big as they are, they're super cool guys. But anyways, the women's match was really good. You had, of course, you had a tag team battle royal where the last 2 tag teams left in were going to be the last 2 competitors because everybody gets thrown over the top. And what happens is 2 teams get to bring their partner back at the very end for their tag titles. Extra Talented, those guys are great with Starks.
Extra
and
Talented?
It's Ricky Starks and Aaron Solo, Mr. Bailey. I actually had a great line, some controversy on the old Twitter about my partner goes, I heard, he's really a thanker. I was like, yeah, here he's a big thanker, and he might be a hugger as well. and stuff. So I guess the subtleties was a little bit of controversy online on the old tweet machine, but they're really good. The Boys, who of course accompanied Dalton Castle, they had a great showing. The Boys are really good. I don't think most people can tell Boy 1 from Boy 2. Can you?
One's twins? Brown and one's white, right?
No, they're twins.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck me.
Yeah. So you're so racist for a black dude.
I guess I didn't.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, a lot of good matches on there. The main event is what tore the house down. The great Ricochet, perhaps the best professional wrestler in the world not signed to WWE. And then, of course, my homie, the best ever, Sammy Guevara. He's huge in Texas. He was just at the NXT tryout down in Orlando. Great guy. He's an arrogant, you know, character on there. I can't put him over enough. Super athletic, 23 years old, great talker, super, super athletic, super gifted. Does a spot off his high beam, if you've watched that match. Goes to the high beam and does like a moonsault off of it. Lands on his feet after hitting Ricochet. And just out of this world phenomenal, man. I would definitely check that match out. You can see the GIFs all over Twitter and online of that match. But Guevara's going to be huge, man. I hope he gets that WWE signing real soon.
Speaking of which, Rick, who are some of the guys in the Texas indie scene that you've seen that really stand out to you?
Oh, great. Guevara is at the top of that list, of course. I would really put over Dirty Andy Dalton. You know him? His father was in the WWE. I believe he was one of the handlers. I believe he's one of the Kimchis for Kamala, as I've been told. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, of course,
everybody could say the word Kimchi.
I know, but hey, man.
I'm pretty sure Lombardi was Kimchi, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think Brawler's the most famous of them all. Dalton definitely stands out to me. Let's see, off the top of my head. So many big stars. Oh, Barrett Brown. You might know Barrett Brown as Americo or Americos. He jobbed to Braun Strowman on Raw. Do you remember him?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, he got squashed, but he's the dude dressed like an American lucha. It was almost like Max Moon, again, shout out to Conan, but an American Max Moon.
Okay.
I'm sure you can pull it up on the Google
machine. I think I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, real fast. Barrett Brown's going to be huge. He wrestles on a lot of cards twice. A wrestler is himself, Barrett Brown, and then he'll wrestle as Americos and his style of lucha later on. Delilah Doom, recently on SmackDown, she was the lady that JBL called a smurf with the blue hair. Okay. She also got squashed by Nia Jax as well. Super bubbly girl, really nice, really good worker. I expect big things from her as well. So
that's not Thunder Kitty, is it?
It's not what?
Thunder Kitty, is it?
I don't know the name Thunder Kitty unless I've just missed out.
Okay, Thunder Kitty wrestles in Jakara, like this really old-timey lady. Looks like the Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah, speaking of Thunder, you know who I got to drive around for about an hour to do an interview with her recently for VIP Wrestling? Thunder Rosa from Lucha Underground. I think, what do they call her on Lucha Underground again?
I don't know.
You know, she's pretty big. Let's see, Lucha Underground. She was the Lizard Queen.
Cobra Moon.
Yes, Cobra Moon. That's her name.
Okay. She wears a mask. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, she has a lot of characters and, you know, a lot of controversy with Lucha Underground. And it's cool that they're coming to Netflix. But a lot of them, I think Ricochet's not going to be back. Penta, you know, just left. Yep. Whatever you're going to call him. I know your boy, Pentagon.
Love Pentagon.
I just worked a show for him recently. I didn't get a chance to talk to him because that's the one where I met Sabre and called Sabre versus Mendoza. That's at Martinez Entertainment. They run in Arlington. Right after Wrestle Circus, they don't have a lot of exposure because they do have a predominantly Latin card. So I think a lot of the Americans in the area don't know. But for, like, your wrestling and stuff, they book great cards. They got a lot of good guys coming up here on March 18th. DJ Z is coming. They've had Sabre Jr. Pentagon's worked a lot of shows for them. A lot of big names for them. But yeah, Thunder Rosa is she's California-based and, of course, Lucha Underground. But she's a star as well. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. Who else? Pretty Boy Killers?
PBK. Maybe my two favorite wrestlers in Texas in terms of guys that I know other than Guevara. I don't even know. I think Shane Taylor is maybe my first show that I worked here. I announced the main event. He was taking on a guy named Ray Ortiz, who's based out of San Antonio, who kind of reminds me of like a young Taz. He's shorter, but he's built. He does a lot of, you know, T-bones and a lot of suplexes. Mm-hmm. He's very impressive. But yeah, I got in the ring to announce the main event after doing color all night, because they were going to have the other announcer involved in a run-in, and which is a story in of itself for another time. But what happens is I come out and I announce Shane Taylor, and he bumps into me, so I really had to sell that and stuff. I think he inadvertently, but again, he's what, probably legit close to 400 pounds. So, okay, outside the ring, he's a total teddy bear. But yeah, and then his partner Keith is basically he's a cruiserweight stuck in a 305 pound man's body.
Right.
Have you ever seen stuff that Keith does?
Oh yeah.
God, like the dive over the top ropes. I've never seen somebody. He was joking with me the other day, and I made the mention on the Russell Circus commentary that he's like, they should have a live at 305 for me. So I'd be a lot more likely to watch that than 205, because 205 is boring as hell, unfortunately, other than Gallagher.
And Austin Aries on it, so I have to watch it.
Yeah, I know. You're a huge mark for Austin.
Love Austin.
Well, all those guys are great. So I talked to Sabre about this when I got a chance to catch up with him. Which you can check out on the I Shoot Wrestling YouTube page, everybody. A lot of interviews that we do and a lot of great ones coming up that we're waiting to put up here. But I was talking to Sabre Jr. and I talked about, like, and your boy Ibushi. I love Ibushi as well. Everybody had, I think, Sabre Jr. taking on Ibushi in the finals. Isn't that what you thought was going to happen?
Everybody thought that was going to happen.
Exactly. Who did you think was going to win? Who would have won between those two? I don't know.
Obviously.
I think Ibushi was going to win as well. But either way, nobody had TJ Perkins and Grand Metalik, you know, beating either of those guys, but because they didn't sign. And I was just talking to him, and I asked, I was like, Sabre, have you watched any, you know, the Cruiserweights or the 205 or their segments on Raw? And he's like, no, I haven't really watched it. I was like, well, I think you made the right decision not to sign, because, you know, first of all, he jobbed you out for not signing. But what happens is there's no personality, right? They don't.
Yeah.
Like, the Cruiserweight Classic, you know, they were kind of developing organically, and people were...
I don't think it's, like, even a lack of personality. I think it's just lack of exciting matches, because they just wanted to wrestle WWE style instead of wrestling Cruiserweight style. Which, if you're going to make if you're going to differentiate their brand by going as far as changing the color of the ropes for 15 fucking minutes, at least let them go out there and have whatever fucking match they want to have, instead of having...
I agree with that to a certain amount of...
For 3 minutes and then doing a finisher.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off there, but I was like, I do agree with what you're saying to a point. But I think the other part is, you know, you were kind of getting introduced. They were putting all these packages together with Noam Dar and Tozawa and all these guys that, you know, they were showing this is where they're from, this is what they've done. And then there's only, like, they don't bring them all over the same time. It's almost like the Invasion back in the day with the WCW. If they would have stayed and waited for all the big guys to come in, it would have gone way more over. But what happened is they only got five guys. And they're all lumping them in. You either see Perkins taking on Kendrick, or you see Perkins, you know, and Grand Metalik, or whoever you want to say, taking on, you know, some combination of Gulak and Kendrick. And they only have five or six guys, and they're either wrestling a tag team, a two-on-two, or a three-on-three. And it's just like, it's the same shit. They only have six guys, so there's different, you know, only so many different combinations you could use here. And there's no way for them to have any story. Like Cedric Alexander, he was huge there. And it's like they've given him nothing. I appreciate that they're finally trying to do something with Alicia Fox, just like Naomi, after 10 years.
Alicia, I love Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox. It's so awkward when he does that. I don't know if he's supposed to sound like he's orgasming in a weird language.
It's supposed to sound like fuck, I think is what it's supposed to be.
Okay. Yeah. That one was lost on me. But anyways, you know, Cedric Alexander, they could push him way more. He doesn't need to be a cruiserweight. Maybe the best guy they have is Tony Nese. He's a good-looking dude. He's strong as hell and stuff. He's athletic as hell. He doesn't even need to be a cruiserweight. He should be on his own doing something in the mid-card. Him and Cesaro should be fighting to make it at the top, man, and constantly getting their fingers stepped on. But those are two guys that have it all.
You know what the cruiserweight division needs to be able to, like, go to that next level? It's Ho-Ho Loon. Like, how can you have this awesome show without the great Ho-Ho?
Ho-Ho Loon, man. What a cool name.
Right? You can't say it and not be happy.
Yeah, he'd be real popular around Christmas.
Yeah.
If, you know, Mick Foley will back him and give him good matches.
Of course. They just call him Ho-Ho-Ho.
Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. You could build in a storyline with the Godfather for a one-night shot there.
I can just imagine Godfather. He's bringing out the ho-ho train.
Yeah, the ho-ho train.
Exactly.
That'd be cool. I wouldn't go see Disco in Vegas, but one day I want to hit Cheetah's just to go see the Godfather. Well, see some good-looking hoes, of course, but and to have a drink or a cocktail with the Godfather.
Yeah. But you wouldn't go to Sapphire's and hang out with Disco.
No.
Yeah.
I barely wanted to watch him on WCW Saturday Night back in the day, so I'm not going to.
Do you know if you play the Disco Inferno theme song backwards, it says, "I want pussy"?
Based on the way he dressed and his dance moves, he does not agree with that, no. How is it you know what club he works at just from listening to the podcast?
Yeah.
And of course, you're straight edge. You don't drink. It's not like you're going to Sapphire's to have a few drinks.
And I'm not trying to look at any hoes, so.
Exactly, yeah. Not really your department either. That's exactly. True.
Well, I like a good party, so if they're going to give me a limo to go to a titty bar, then I would gladly ride the limo. Just say, hey, I rode in the limo.
Styling and profiling, my friend.
Exactly. Anybody wants to look like Ric Flair at any given moment.
Oh, yeah, man. I'll tell you, you see me when I show up to commentary, I pull up in my Mustang, I drive my my nice
Mustang?
Yeah.
Huh.
I've had it for like years, man, yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, you'll love it, man. I got some Batman shit on there. I'll have to show you some pictures or something sometime.
I need to come down to Dallas and come down and kick it, eat some ribs.
Yeah, man, please come down. You always got a place to stay, man.
Boom.
We're linking up in New Orleans next year, right?
Hell yeah, dude. If you're going to be there, I'm definitely going to be there. I'm already planning my trip. Like,
yeah.
Everybody's coming. Like, Big Jim's coming down.
Yeah, I want to meet you. I always listen to you guys on the podcast. I can't wait to meet you. I even follow him on Twitter
to get to know
more about Big Jim.
He's the man. So he's coming down. We're going to party. We're going to go to Bourbon Street, eat some Crystal Burgers. We're going to fucking get some beignets from Cafe Du Monde, see a lot of wrestling, eat a lot of po' boys. We're going to find a gas station because we don't want to go to a restaurant to get a po' boy. You want to go to a gas station.
It's not authentic.
Yeah, because the restaurant, you're probably going to get like half a po' boy, not a lot of shrimp on it. I want to go to a gas station where they're just going to overload my shit with shrimp, put the butter on the bread. Fucking wonderful, right?
Yeah, nobody wants one of those corporate bullshit TGI Fridays endless po' boys and none of that.
With a pineapple Big Shot soda. It's the only way to do it. Maybe a bag of Zapp's potato chips.
Man, now you're talking the language.
Yeah. Can't wait. I'm going to gain at least 10 pounds.
Well, hey, man, there's a lot of good food to be eating, man. You're welcome down here in Dallas anytime. We've got a lot of great wrestling, a lot of great barbecue. So.
Definitely. I'll come down, watch some wrestling, eat some brisket. And Whataburger. Fuck yeah, Whataburger
is fucking shit, man.
Dude, right when we were leaving Dallas, I was like, we have to go to Whataburger.
You realize I live literally 2 minutes from a 24-hour Whataburger.
I'm pretty sure they're all 24 hours.
Are they all 24 hours?
They're all 24.
No, they're not, because when we were staying out in Irving when we first moved down here, I think they're open 10, 11, 12. Depends on the night.
Are you in Dallas or are you in the suburbs?
We live in Dallas now, but when we first moved out here, you know, you hit the hotel for a month, figure out where you want to live. Mm-hmm. So we were out in the suburb of Irving for maybe about a month.
Okay. Well, what's the spot to kick it in Dallas? Where do you usually go?
I don't know, man. I spend a lot of time doing wrestling. Every weekend is probably 2-3 shows. Nice. But the downtown area here is really cool. You know, they have the JFK Memorial and the grassy knoll, but there's a lot of great places downtown.
When I was in Mania, my hotel room looked right at it. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I'm a huge like JFK mark. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm a huge John Wilkes guy. I had a great view. I could see what he did there.
It was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
Wrong assassin.
I know. I was going to say, what the fuck am I thinking? Yeah. John Wilkes. Yeah, I wasn't high on that Lincoln fella either. Yeah, I talk about wrestling, not history, for a reason, I guess.
I'm not going to lie. I am a bit of a Lee Harvey Oswald mark because he was a communist. So that's kind of awesome.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's a t-shirt.
I'm a Lee Harvey Oswald guy.
Pro wrestling tee, set that up.
Set that up. Plug your shit, bro.
Plug my shit. So much good stuff. Of course, I Shoot Wrestling. One of the biggest
meetings.
What about it?
Where can we find it?
You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on the Facebook page. I'm linked from all my stuff. Twitter is, of course, Twitter. I can't even say it right. Twitter / the Ricky Hustle, HUSSLE. I wish I had put an extra L in there so I could spell it like double J back in the day. JEFJARRET. I'll come up with my own theme song about being with my baby tonight. The Facebook is at the same one, Facebook.com. Then the space dash, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
It's backslash. Forward slash, because it goes like that.
Forward slash, side slash, whatever the fucking character is figured out. The Ricky Hustle. You can keep up with all of our projects. Got a couple things I'm looking to put together here.
This weekend?
What shows do we have coming up this weekend? I'm not on this one, but WFC, they're wrestling for a cause. They're based out of Oklahoma. Great concept. A lot of times their money and stuff goes to like kids with cancer and leukemia, as both of my parents have had both of those symptoms. That's something we really believe in. That's great. NAWA is coming up the following week, March 11th. I think after that will be Wrestle Circus the following weekend. But for next weekend, I'll be in sunny Southern California, be sitting floor seats with the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a good time. Might hit up the Disneyland, Universal. I'm going to go down to San Diego. There's this great Lucha Libre burrito place I wanted to go to for years. So that's in San Diego, so I'm going to hit that up as well. So
swing by Conan's place.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't him and Mysterio both live like out in Sandy?
Yeah.
San Diego?
Yep. I know Kadoff's in Chula Vista. I'll get you his address.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll appreciate you put that up here.
Yeah.
So I'm sure like you listen to Keep It 100 every week, and I'll check it out from time to time. I'm sure that you he's big on following your podcast as well, Rock and Wrestling.
Who doesn't love Rock and Wrestling? Because you can find us at Rock Wrestling PC on Twitter, Rock and Wrestling Podcast @gmail.com. If you want to be a guest on the show, like my boy Ricky Hustle, send me an email and I will consider getting you a spot to plug your shit on my beautiful podcast. You can always follow Big Nigger Jim on Twitter @SweetJimReaper. Don't forget to like the show on iTunes, give that 5-star review, hit that subscribe button so you get the show on your phone every week. Also, Podcast Addict, the podcast app that everybody uses now, but I've been using for like 5 years. What the fuck? T-Bird Black Trendsetter. Hey, you gotta say it. Thanks for coming on the show, Rick. Really appreciate it. Keep doing your thing, representing rock and wrestling out there, because you are a part of the rock wrestling family. You are my nigga for life. My name is Tyler Black. He's Ricky Hustle. This has been another episode of The Rock. You gotta say it.
Rock and Wrestling Podcast. Don't let it be 2 years before I'm back on here again.
You're welcome any fucking time.